Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I hear him chatting the noise, move too quick, can't stop for the talking. I hear him chat with the boys, man, so tough, but man's keep walking.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cancer Now podcast. My name is Isaac Butterfield. Bluey is not here today. He is scaffolding yet again.
Would have been a great addition.
I know. I always, anyway, he's a fucking pig. Now, John.
Hit me.
How do you pronounce your last name?
It's John Bernard Kayrouz.
Kayrouz.
Yeah, so phonetically Kayrouz.
So how do we, where does that come from?
It's Lebanese.
Yeah.
It's Lebanese, so it's Arabic. There's been multiple variations of spelling that's made its way down to Australia. But yeah, Kayrouz, Lebanese.
Mate, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate.
Thanks for coming up. You said before it was a bit weird being on the podcast.
No, I mean,
In a good way,
because I've been watching you for so long and I've seen people that I like, content creators, comedians, come on. And see you and have a good chat, have a good yarn. So I'm excited to be here because it's pretty funny that I get to sit across from you. So
that's great to be here, brother. Yeah. Thank you very much. Now let's talk how you sort of come about the content sphere.
Yeah. I mean, I started doing I was an extra in a lot of like some commercials and stuff. Mm. You know, I did an RSPCA ad and stuff like that. And then a mate hit me up from school saying he wanted to do a live sketch comedy show. It's called The Forecast. Okay. And we did a couple of shows in Surrey Hills and Chippendale and The Forecast. It was like news before it happens and it was sketch comedy. We were doing them live, but then COVID happened. So we were doing, you know, we went from doing a live show to doing a web series on YouTube. And I was kind of writing for it, giving my two cents, acting in it. I was playing like an in-the-field reporter that was very, like, you know, taking things overly serious or coming up with really, like, funny in-the-field stuff. And we started to put those out on TikTok and Facebook and stuff like that. And my stuff kind of got received really well. So I just made my own page on TikTok and started posting on Instagram and slowly built it up. And then, I was building the Instagram up a little bit. And then, obviously, I did the COVID numbers.
I was saying to people the other day, I was trying to explain you as the COVID number guy.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, no, I don't remember that. But then I show them your face and like, oh, I've seen his other stuff.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the COVID numbers. So we were deep in the middle of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that point where they were having the daily press conferences and releasing. Was this like at the start of those press conferences? Early on where these started?
I think they would have been going on for a bit. And then it was, I think it was about late July last year where we were in a pretty like significant lockdown. And that's when it kind of kicked off and went on that week run of predicting the COVID case numbers.
So you were predicting the numbers prior to, there was a day before?
Yeah, so I would put it out the night before and then they would announce them in the morning.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So for those of you not following, every day they'd come out with how many people had COVID that day in New South Wales.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before, John would put up on his TikTok how many people would have it. And they were right every day.
Yeah, I wouldn't just put it out. I was accurately predict it through the Kayrouz probability theorem that we coined. And I think it kind of got to Gladdy and New South Wales Health at the time. They weren't very pleased with it, but it made for good fun and good television.
Yeah, it did. It did. And people were freaking out too. They were like, how does this prick fucking know? So what was going on? Or was it just the formula?
It was really just the formula. I mean, I still get to this day people coming up to me, how'd you do it? We maintain, my brothers and I, it was just maths.
The brothers have got it. It's all on lockdown. There's no secrets here. Well, I'll ask that question when the cameras are off again. but yeah, people were freaking out because they're like, oh my God, because this is such a serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the government must have control and all of a sudden they don't.
Yeah, and I think it was pretty stupid that they would just, you know, release it in the morning. It was like this whole thing. Everyone would wait for 11 a.m. and see what the numbers was and if it go up or down.
Out.
Yeah. So I mean, now we got to a point now where there's thousands of cases and no one cares.
Well, they're not counting anymore.
Yeah, exactly
they're
right.
Not, they're not making that information available to the public.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it was fun while it lasted. It was like a time where everyone was just focused on that one thing and it kind of went pretty national. So, and it was fun. I enjoyed doing it. It was, I think it got to a point where everyone was kind of getting a number some way or another, but we kind of just made it fun by adding a bit of production to it. I think one of them, I interviewed Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
And he gave me the number.
That's important.
Yeah, so we kind of mixed it up. We mucked around on the Today shows and the morning shows. So it was fun.
So you go on the show or they just sort of record you at your house sort of thing? Or?
No, yeah, so they kind of zoomed in at the time. Yeah, so I was across from my laptop. And
did you get much heat about it?
No, I think this is what happened. I was the most loved person at the time for taking the piss.
Yep.
And like, oh, how's he doing it? And everyone was visiting the page and stuff. And then literally it was like 5 days and then going into the weekend that Sydney had one of their first lockdown protests.
Right.
And I've attended that.
Yes.
And then that's when I've just like tables are turned, media just pumping me. I was getting all these DMs and people for going to that protest. And, you know, well, not everyone's cup of tea. I probably, you know, I've had to go to court and all that for that. But
so
I mean.
So what was the protest for? Anti-lockdown?
It was the first ever lockdown one. Yeah. And probably one of the most attended ones. But yeah, I had like family members go, friends that were going. And I didn't think that I was that notable or like. Because it was just literally coming off the back of that week where I was got the most exposure ever. Mm. And I rocked up to it. And, you know, people come and taking photos. Someone handed me a mic when at the end and whatever happened. But I think everyone's kind of very much over it. But, yeah, that's when I started to receive heaps of backlash.
Someone handed you a mic?
Yeah, so.
Because there's the photos of you, like, up there sort of addressing the protest.
Yeah. So we walked all the way to Town Hall. And it's still, I was still waiting a court decision on it.
So what are you charged with?
I got two charges that I pled guilty to, which were the COVID charges, being outside of your house and being gathering with more than two people, very serious charges.
Very serious charges. Aren't a lot of those being dropped?
In Melbourne, in other states, they're not in the public interest, so they're being dropped.
New South Wales is holding onto them.
They're going after me. But
good on them.
One of the major ones is a criminal offence, and it's inciting crime.
Gotcha.
Right, so carries a maximum penalty of 2 years in prison. Not that I'll get that, even though I'm Lebanese, I'm a first-time offender.
I think they should lock you up. I think they should lock you up because of your heritage.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, to keep pursuing that is pretty stupid. But yeah, I'm still waiting. So we had the court hearing, I think, a couple months ago, and October 10th I'll get a decision on whether I'm guilty or not guilty of inciting a crime. And pretty much what happened was, you know, I was there. And, you know, people were recognizing me because I'd just done all the morning shows and I was, you know, talked about that whole week. People coming up, taking photos. We get to the end at Town Hall and I'm there floating around. I was there doing content. I was interviewing some of the protesters. I was doing like a protest tour because that's some of the stuff that I do on TikTok and Instagram. And then there's a guy with a megaphone there. A couple of my mates are there and they're going, you know, go up and say something, go up. This guy hands me the microphone. I've jumped onto the steps and I just kind of made up something on the spot. I was predicting the numbers. So I just go, I'm predicting there's over 50,000 people there.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's something along those lines. And they went nuts. It was funny. And I referred to myself as the people's premier, which I was doing the whole week. So I thought it was just a little like a bit, right? But New South Wales police think otherwise, and I've apparently incited some crime.
So you go to the protest, you do your thing, mm-hmm. go home with all your content. Do you get approached by police on the day, or is it what happens?
No, it was there was heaps of police there. No one came up to me, said anything. It was the following day, the Sunday. Mm-hmm. Obviously, everything kind of kicked up online. A lot of the backlash was getting messages. Following started to go down dramatically as well.
Really?
Yeah. Because you had such a mass following. I was getting hit with every label under the sun.
Yeah.
And police came to the house that day, detectives, with cameras. It was like a setup with Channel 7 cameras. They were there ready to go.
That weird when the media and police turn up?
Yeah, simultaneous.
It's like,
Strike force.
Hang on, what's going on here?
Yeah.
So do you live at home with your family?
Yeah. Yeah, so that was funny.
How did that go down?
No, I don't think they really minded. They were a bit concerned. I was like, probably it's a bit much. But, yeah, so they handed me the court orders and stuff like that. I think there was a video that went around as well. But yeah, that it feels so long ago now, and it is been so long. It's been over a year, and it's still kind of been dragged on. So
yeah, and they'll drag it on because it's not important. To us. Yeah, we'll fucking deal with that another time. But they also don't want to go, oh, let's just throw it out because the media will still jump on it. But what was that like getting jumped on by all of these people in the media? Like, was that an eye-opening experience for you?
Yeah, yeah, one to learn from so early on. Because, like you said, I just kind of started doing the content. At that point, I'd probably been only posting on socials for, like, 6 months.
Yes.
And that was one of the catalysts. So the numbers blowing me up, getting a lot of exposure. But
how far did you blow up?
I went from having 12,000 followers on Instagram to about 55,000.
Shit.
And TikTok went from 100K or 80K to about 300,000.
Wow. So a lot of people are seeing you.
Yeah, it was a big jump. And then off the back of that, having that mass exposure, then going to a protest where, you know, like I said, it's not everyone's cup of tea.
Mm.
And that's probably the first protest I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah.
Right? I can't say I went to any of the previous protests, like the Black Lives Matter ones or any of those ones.
Yep.
But
the lawful ones.
The lawful protests or any parades of any sort. I didn't attend those.
Yeah.
But it was weird because I was a bit down because it was hard to go from, you know, everyone's loving you, give us more to we hate you. Yeah. And you're getting smashed in the DMs and people are coming at you, people checking in on you. I was fine because, like I said, I live with the family. You know, everyone's very supportive. We're having a laugh. We're looking at some of the funniest, like, you know, comments that are spraying you. See,
it's the only way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I happen to know a fair bit about people jumping on.
Oh, for sure.
And people having a crack at you. And it is overwhelming. Mm. Like when news articles, like there's articles coming out about you. I don't know if you have there's this option you have on Google to turn on, like, your whenever your name is mentioned in the media,
okay,
you can turn on, you get sent an email. I have that. I can't work out how to turn it off, but I really should. But when I was in a lot of strife, with jokes and stuff like that, like, it's crazy. Like, you've got the Sun Herald and the Herald Sun and all these fucking people
Daily
reaching
Mails.
Out. The Daily Mail, they reach out. The Daily Mail do not reach out to me anymore because I'm always trying to bait them. Like, when there was...
I'd imagine you just take the piss out of them when they reach out for a comment or something. I do that all the time.
They reach out for comment. Like, you need to comment by 3 o'clock this afternoon. I'm like, fuck off. I'm not... No, fuck off. I'll make a video. That's where you can get my comment from, all right? Get my AdSense going, cunt.
Yeah.
I fucking wouldn't give them a comment if they paid me. Fuck them. But, yeah, I stopped getting contacted by the Daily Mail when there was a rumor about me going on, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. So I sent out these DMs and no one bit. They knew. I sent out these DMs to all the major news providers because there was a rumor about me going on there. And I was like, hey, listen, I need to talk to someone. A producer has been sexually abusing me on the show. And I've got the DM somewhere. And no one come back. No one bit. No
really?
One cared. No one cared about the Me Too Butterfield movement.
Oh, no.
It was bullshit. But I was
talk about double standards.
I know.
You were getting Weinstein and they'd overlooked it.
No one cared. No one cared. They'll grab me on the... it was a whole thing and I was just desperately trying to get someone to buy it. The same thing happened. I did a joke about a Tasmanian, the Jumping Castle tragedy. And the media started talking about it. And then I started talking about it, trying to drum them up. And then they stopped because they were like, no, this cunt wants them to talk about him. So it's a positive thing.
Yeah.
I know you saw your numbers go down, but over the long term, that's what you want. You want people to be
talking
about.
Yeah, I think I learned that. I learned that because, like I said, it was probably the first time I ever experienced something like that. And like I said, got a good family. We were having a laugh, picked the funniest comments. We did like a little mean tweet segment.
Yeah.
I probably didn't post for like a day or two. And then I just kept rolling out stuff. But then I ended up getting COVID in that September, got it pretty badly,
so
ended up in hospital. Oh, just that Delta kind of, that strain kind of hit me pretty bad. Doctors reckon I probably had some form of like pneumonia.
Right.
And
so when you're that crook that you need to go to hospital, is there a part of you going, I can't.
Oh, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, it's hit me hard. It ended up hitting everyone. Some people shrugged it off, some people didn't. You know what I mean? And like, no one really knows what my kind of health conditions are or anything like that as well. And same with anyone in my family, that because we kind of copped it a bit. And then that was when another wave came. It was like you were getting the hope you die, like shit like that, which is like that was another one. But probably having that one beforehand of the backlash, this one was a bit easier. And now I don't really care at all. Like you said, any kind of mention is a good one. And every opportunity I get to take the piss, I will. Like coming out of court the other time facing those COVID charges, you know, I just came out and addressed the media. Look, as the People's Premier, the matter's still before the court. There'll be no further comment, you know, I don't really take them too seriously, and it's just all for a laugh, really.
What are you going to do in October when the trials?
I've got a whole content plan laid out. I've you know, gone, me and my brother are going there as twins. You know, we'll see which ones they jump on. You know, there's a couple other things. I'm bringing my grandmother with me. Like, there's a few things in the pipeline.
That's great. You got to really fuck with that.
Yeah, I think
that is the main. Like, you should have a whole security detail. Yeah. Get some of your followers to dress up in the black suits, earpieces, the whole thing. Oh,
that's a great idea.
Lead you out of court. Don't let the media near you. I love that shit. You want to get my comment? Go to my TikTok tonight. Yeah,
exactly. Right.
I'll be posting.
So what happened with the celebrity? Were you legit going to go on?
No.
No, okay, no. But there were rumors floating around you.
I saw an article. They said, this YouTuber has 1 million followers. And I was like,
Do you think they would have allowed you? Like, say you got the gig. Right? Do you think there would have been public backlash to go get him off?
I wouldn't have gone on it.
Yeah? No. You're not your cup of tea?
No, I like being at home. Yeah. But also, I was approached to go on Survivor.
Oh, I reckon you'd kill Survivor.
No, I don't want to.
No?
Because here's the thing, you don't get paid.
Don't you? Oh, you just got the prize money.
It's like, fuck off. I'm not doing that. I'm not going into the jungle for 8 weeks or whatever it is to starve myself if I'm not going to get paid.
Fair enough.
I wouldn't do that. Well, actually, I also got hit up recently to go on a show on the ABC. A quiz show, right? And they said, yeah, so are you happy to audition? I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I was like, what's the pay? She said, oh, no, it's not paid. You're the contestant because you were paired up with a celebrity. I just assumed I was a celebrity.
They wanted you as a participant.
They wanted me as a participant. Oh, I was like, fuck off, mate. Are these people that fucking, like, you know, I'm not a big deal, but I'm at least a medium deal.
Yeah.
Fucking, anyway. So I had the shits with that. A little bit. Hurt my ego a little bit, but it also it was quite funny. But yeah, so my TikTok, I sort of wasn't into TikTok, and then I sort of am. Mine's disappeared ever since I made I did get deleted 3 times. But I also made a video about the Chinese influence over TikTok.
Yeah.
And then ever since then, I've posted about 30 videos, all with 0 views.
No.
I'll show you.
So that's like permaband almost, but without being banned.
Weird, right? So I've spoken to them and they say, it's just a technical issue and all that type of shit. But if you scroll down, look at all those fucking videos, all with 0 views.
How does that make sense?
Well,
you've got 526,000 followers. Not one person is saying.
Not one person saw that. So it's a whole thing, and I get it. And these people are just sort of doing their own thing.
Because I would get a lot of your podcast clips come up. That's actually what made me kind of jump into like podcasting with my brother and making clips and podcasting. Yeah. But like, they were some of the most entertaining ones. Like you with Spanian.
I enjoy those.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And in clip form, easy to digest. And people love that on TikTok. I'd be surprised. Like, not one of your 500,000 followers is seeing any of that. Right,
weird. And I've spoken to people in TikTok, and they've said, "Listen, it's out of our hands," sort of thing. They're trying to. You fix know what it is?
You know, people that work for TikTok in Australia, they just kick shit up the hill. They don't know what's going on. From my experience with them, they don't get back to me on anything.
Right.
Like, you know, I've got almost 390,000 followers on there. And a decent Instagram following, and it's just like, you know, what do I got to do to get a blue tick? You know, I've got enough publications and stuff like that, but it's just like, you speak to their partnerships people, I don't get an email back, or, you know, we got to go speak to someone in Singapore or the US or someone, you know what I mean?
Apparently you have to have 1 million.
Okay.
Or they don't give a shit about you.
Really?
That's like the unspoken.
Yeah, not that I give a fuck about a blue tick or not, but it's just like, you know, I don't even, you know, you don't get invites to, you know, their TikTok events and stuff like that.
You want to go to a TikTok event?
No.
I hate people that go to events.
But just the,
go to an event. At least don't take it seriously.
Yeah, but I just think unless you toe the line with something, because I don't even think I'm that controversial. But I mean, unless you toe the line, you don't get the, you know, the.
Well, hang on. You're not controversial, but you did talk about COVID and you dare question it.
Yeah,
that's super controversial.
Yeah, exactly. In this day and age.
Yeah, particularly in the world of like, you know, the TikTokers and all that type of stuff. Like, I've seen a couple of people that I know quite well go down the TikTok rabbit hole and completely change their tune of who they are as a person. Like, originally they were, like, quite fun. I won't name any names or any other type of stuff, but this person I'm talking about was a real funny person, open to humor, all that type of stuff, loved comedy. Now, a raging lunatic.
Really?
Because of the TikTok rabbit hole that they've gone down.
I'm not Are you saying they've gone too far one way? What do you...
Super left.
Oh, really?
Super left on it. I was really, really confronted by how far down they went down this rabbit hole, and it appears that they just won't be able to get out of it. Like, they are just... They are enthralled by whatever ideas that these people that they see on TikTok every single day have.
I've spoken to a creator that you know, and like he coined this term, the white girl marketing mafia.
Oh, I can't imagine who that TikTok creator is.
They run the world. They run entertainment. And if you can't,
they do. Too. You know what I mean? I've never thought of that, but they do.
They run everything. You know, who do you want to get for an ad or someone? Inspired Unemployed, height of comedy. Let's get them. Not knocking Inspired Unemployed.
Nah, knock them, fuck them.
But you know, it's if you're not in with these people in the marketing teams and the you know the media and partnerships team who are all white chicks, right, and who definitely sway to the left side. You know, you're not going to get a gig.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I know there's, and I don't know her political agenda, but the lady I work with at YouTube, I got a YouTuber, lovely person, and we talk a lot about the dogs and family and stuff. But she'll message me and go, oh, because I'll say, oh, this was demonetized. Can you have a look at it? And she goes, yeah, the fuck feminist video, you know. I'm like, you know, unfortunately, I was like, yeah, listen, I know I come across as a piece of shit, but, you know who I actually am. And she's like, yeah, fair. But, no, I've never thought about that. But was it Neil who said that?
It was Neil.
It sounds like something he'd say. It is spot on.
Yeah.
It is just this white chick army who are so victimized by the world that they have to stick together and all that type of shit.
Yeah.
And that's the world that they, that's what the world that you're trying to get into as far as, you know, get me a brand deal, get me this, get me that, get me the other.
Yeah.
And that's why you see anyone who's sort of controversial, they're all sponsored by the same people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They all got the exact same sponsor.
And the thing is like, there's...
Shout out to manscaped.com. Go to manscaped.com/Butterfield right now to get two free gifts, the shed travel bag and the anti-chafing boxer briefs, and you're going to get 20% off and you get free international shipping. They've got the best stuff in the world. The ultimate package 4.0. You're going to trim your balls.
They're on four now. 4.0.
This is the best one. They've fucking mastered it.
I can't wait to get onto 5. It's like the next iPhone. I might line up for it.
Nah, don't. Because the 4 is the best, right? Okay. Go over to manscaped.com/Butterfield right now. You're going to get the ultimate package 4.0. I did write down what it was actually called because I actually do have to do an ad for them. So we may as well do it right fucking now. What's
good,
it called?
Great segue, mate.
The Platinum Package, the ultimate package. That's fucking bullshit, Butterfield. The Platinum Package 4.0 from manscaped.com. The best in the business, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to get the 2-in-1 conditioner and shampoo that I get this fucking beautiful head of hair done. The body wash is gorgeous. I smell like a fucking woodsman. Let me tell you that. You got the other things, the fucking... Have you used the Manscaped trimmer?
I have used Manscaped. Unbelievable. It is. It does a job. Doesn't it? It does a job.
And you're Lebanese. You're
exactly
hairy man.
Right. That's exactly right. Don't worry about laser. Just go with the Manscaped.
Fucking mate, if you're getting lazy, you're wasting your time. Go to manscaped.com for the profile. Yeah. Everyone's sponsored by the same person.
Yeah, but what I like about you is you kind of carved your own path. You don't need... a TV show for exposure. You don't need to get a brand deal here and there. It's like you've got your own. You've got your YouTube going, your Patreon. But even in saying that, if you wanted to, you know, and it's not like you go out of your way to be overly controversial. If you find something funny, you put it out. And I like to think I try and do the same thing. But it's like you could still get cancelled off these things. Like Steve Will Do It's thing. You had a video on that the other day. He's canned off.
That's weird.
Yeah, like
that he got taken down over some... Like, he didn't blur out the .com bit of a gambling website. Yeah. Like, come on, mate. Like, surely there's enough, like...
There's got to be a common sense approach to...
Yeah, critical thinking, or at least some nuance with the rules.
Yeah.
Boyly, could you get me another beer, mate? Just one of those ultra crisps, please. These are gluten-free. Doesn't give me a headache. You know what? Let's bring the boil in.
Yeah, why not?
Is that all right, Lord? Can we bring the boil in? This is a bloke I've known since I was... How old was I when I met you? How about you come in, please? This is the great Boily. Boily's Beer Reviews. Is that what it's called? into the microphone. Put your headphones on.
Yep.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Speak into that.
Okay.
How you going, mate?
I'm very well, thank you.
Welcome. This is John Boyley. Boyley John. John Boyley. Boyley John.
Nice to meet you, pal.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah. So I'd say I've probably known. Well, we went to school together back
in primary
school.
We've known each other for a long time.
Yes. Now,
you are a beer connoisseur.
Yes.
So I wanted to bring you on the show because you've got an Instagram page called The Boozy Boyle.
I do.
And this bloke does the best, I'm going to read one, the best beer reviews that I have ever read. All right? Let me pull
you
one
type
up.
Them. I do type them. Okay. Yeah.
You type them out.
Yeah. So basically how I've always done it is I write them in the notes. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of format it with, like I'll do the beer, then I'll do the brewery, where it's all from for people, ABV, which is the alcohol content.
Yeah.
And then pretty much from there, I'll write down my notes and write it in a way where people can read it and it's a little bit more
User-friendly.
User-friendly, yeah.
And one I've got here, I tried the other day, you actually got me this beer, it is the Double Pineapple Milkshake.
Yes.
That sounds like good beer.
It was confronting for me, but this is what you've written. This is the Garage Project in Wellington, New Zealand. Yep. ABV, which is the alcohol content, 6.8%, 2.5 standard drinks. Another stunning beer produced by one of my favorite brewers, Garage Project. This beer is where summer vibes meet a winter style. You sound like you're writing for a domain or something. As a lot of you already know, I love my fruity flavored beers, and this one is just another great one. But while this beer packs a punch of sweet goodness and pineapple and the sourness of life, which I love, I think it's fallen down with a lack of oat cream.
Yes.
There's a lack of oat cream in the milkshake.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so it's funny how a lot of all these new like craft beers now are all made. You've got like Hope Estate, which is a local beer for us, and a local winery up here in the Hunter Valley. They do some incredibly good sours. They do like a super sour.
You love the sour beers, don't you?
I don't mind a good sour, yeah. But their super sour that they do, it's called the Sunny Boy Sour, for example. I nearly actually brought it in today, but it's 9% in a 335ml can.
Yep.
And it's three standards. Honestly, I did do the review on that, I think, early last year. Mm. And it was like drinking a warhead.
Oh.
It was that fucking sour.
So what have you brought in today? Because I asked you to bring in a beer.
I did.
What have you got?
I brought in two beers.
Can you break them out?
I can. Yep, I'll go grab them.
I'll see you in a minute. You sure you want to open the good one, the big one? Don't open that.
I'm not opening that one.
Nah. So I'll
send this way over the edge of that one.
Okay. So can you take us through the one that we're not opening and show the cameras as well? Because this is pretty crazy. Take us through this one.
Okay. So obviously what I've just had, as you know, Butsy, you're having 30th on the weekend. And
you only 30?
Congratulations, mate.
Yeah,
beautiful,
cheers.
Beautiful man.
But yeah, so four of my best mates, obviously one of yours was your best man at your wedding, Taylor. They got me in assortment of beers and a couple of beer glasses for my 30th. And Terry, who works out of Sydney, went to one of the big craft brewery
joints.
One of the big bottle shops in Sydney.
Okay.
And they got this beer, which is the most alcoholic beer in the world.
It's called Snake's Venom, the world's strongest fortified beer.
Jesus.
So this is one badass fortified beer, the hard man of the beer world. 67.5%.
Yeah,
that's high.
67.5 fucking percent. It's got 17 standard drinks in it.
Well, the Lebanese got a thing called Adal. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's like aniseed. No. It's fairly fucking high. It's like, it's sometimes 70-80% alcohol
in
this
thing. Is that a liquor? Is that a?
It is. It's like moonshine.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you make that?
People do like grapes and aniseed and stuff like that. They can use it with like old wines and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I was thinking of getting into the game.
Oh.
But it's too hard to make it. Like as in, and then get everything. So I was looking at maybe partnering up with someone, but
yeah, it's a hard one, the alcohol game. I was speaking
all these taxes and all that shit.
The guys who do Howlerhead, Dana White. He's off cider and mate, they just said, listen, it's hard. They want to get it here to Australia, but it's a really, and I've got a bottle of it up there. It is a banana whiskey. Delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're much of a...
Outstanding.
Yeah, you had some the other day.
Yeah,
man,
I did. Yep.
Just unbelievable. And unbelievable. But he just said, mate, it's impossible to get here. But yeah, Snake's Venom. 17 standard drinks. in that little bottle.
Jeez. And so I believe that there's only two bottle shops in the world that stock it. One of them's in Sydney, and I believe the other one is somewhere in the UK.
So is it supposed to taste like beer, or is it just liquor?
Honestly, I don't know. I'm very keen to have a try of it.
You should try that on your Instagram.
Yep.
And send it to me, and we'll reshare it, all that type of stuff, to get some people over to your gram. But that's one I want to see you have. But I want to get back in the conversation with John, but I want to try this beer that you've brought for us today. Let's
absolutely
have a look.
Yeah. So another garage project beer for you here, Butsy. But with this one here, it's 8.4% with three standard drinks.
Yeah.
It's a hazy sour. So
a hazy sour.
A hazy sour. Okay. So it's not.
Do you
want
to try some of this?
I'll have a bit of hazy sour. Yeah.
So it's not.
Can you serve us up, young man?
I can. So
can I ask you?
Yep.
It's like your ratings for a beer, right?
Yep.
It's like the Uber rating in a car, 1 to 5. What's your 5 and what's your 1?
I generally do it on like the style of beer as well.
Get this man a fucking beer. Jesus Christ.
I generally do it on the style of beer because there is so many different styles of beer. Like a lot of the garage project beers that I've had are pretty much the top of the tree as far as I'm concerned, like your mountain cultures and things like that do. But the ones for me are like kind of like your, I'm going to sound like a bit of a craft snob now, but it would be more like your Tui's New and the likes of those guys now. But
you love the Tui's New.
No, they're ones.
No,
oh, they're saying
they're ones.
Oh,
yeah,
they're right.
Yeah. Yeah. One being the lowest.
So where's VB on that scale?
Oh, it's definitely blown new. Yeah.
You know, I actually don't mind occasional VB. It's not that bad. I don't mind it. What about 150 lashes?
150 lashes.
That'd have to be a 4.
10 years ago, I really enjoyed it. But like after when you see like a lot of these beers be bought out by the Lion Group and by Carlton. Like Carlton's just been bought by Asahi, for example. So pretty much 80% of all our beer here in Australia is actually overseas owned, which a lot of people go, oh, Tui's New is Australian owned. Well, it's actually not. It's owned by South Africans.
Fucking South Africans.
So big
and,
beer, eh?
Yeah. And Carlton's all now Japanese.
Yeah, yeah. So. Okay, so this is called Ocean of Oneness.
Yes.
Wow. Deep dive into the ocean of oneness with this this esoteric fusion of hazy double IPA and Fjordur wild, wild like a workshop sour beer, swirling sweet with sour flavors, together with the elevated aromatics of Rudy. Mosaic and fucking Jesus Christ, sounds like a porno. This, let's have a
look. Yes, it's to me, it's not like
oh fucking Jesus Christ.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The sourness definitely hits right pretty hard at the back of the tongue, but definitely full of fruit. So
wow, it really is full of fruit.
Mm. Yeah.
He did say he likes a fruity beer. You a fruity guy?
I don't more my fruit in general, but yeah.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard it here first.
But yeah.
Boily does not mind his fruit. That's do you reckon you could have like 10 of those though? Like that's got to be pretty hard.
Fuck no.
You'd be feeling it. You'd be coming back up.
There was one night at home. This was before my old man moved in as well. Like where I'd actually sit there and probably have 2 or 3 beers, and I know I'd done one night. I reviewed through these garage projects, and the first one was at 8.5, the next one was 9.5, and the other one was about 11.5. And I when I worked out, because I actually enjoyed
when you
it.
Woke up.
when I worked it out, I'd actually had about 13 stand-ups in about 40 minutes. So, yeah, it's, yeah, they're big beers.
So you could drink that easy, the snake's venom.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I could. Well, it says they're 35 mil in one sitting, so.
Yeah, but I don't recommendation, isn't it?
I don't know if I could go two or three.
I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, go and check out the Boozy Boil on Instagram for all Boilies recommendations. But what you need to do, and John, I reckon you'll agree with me,
mm-hmm.
you need to do video.
I was about to say it. I was like, you're great with the pen. Yeah, let your personality be seen on camera, mate. I think people will get around and love it.
I think people will.
TikTok? Get on the TikTok and Instagram.
Definitely.
I have started a TikTok. I'm just trying to work out the formatting of how to do it all.
It's a whole new world. Yeah, it's a whole new. What's your TikTok?
It's under at the Boozy Boil at this stage.
At the Boozy Boil. Yeah. Fuck yeah, man. Well, so thank you very much for coming along, Boyle. I appreciate that. And you can get home to your other standard drinks.
Jeez,
appreciate
mate.
That.
Cheers, boys.
We're fucking on you. Now, you going to hang out for the rest of the potty or what are you doing?
It's up to you, boys. I can hang around if you like.
Whatever
you
want,
mate.
More than welcome.
Whatever you want, brother. Gross. Now, so what's next for you, mate?
Mate, like you said, I mean, there's people that remember me as the COVID guy, but I've been doing a lot of other stuff. I did probably off the back of that, went and did an America trip with me and my brother, caught a lot of the NFL.
I saw that.
Yeah, just different games, couple of NBA games and just doing around the grounds like content and doing Texas and Florida and we loved it there. So did that and then now being back, I've kind of, like I said, just making comedic videos, whether it's tours or just sketches and stuff like that. And, you know, we did one most recently with the election that did really well. Me and my brother, it was kind of like almost prank style, but we were going around.
That was great. Yeah, giving
out pamphlets for different parties. And we weren't taking the piss out of one party. We were taking the piss out of everyone.
And you were talking mad shit while you're giving out
the
voting.
We're giving out free Foxtel, Labor, just vote Labor, please.
That was great.
Yeah.
Did you see that at one boily? He was basically saying, you know, Labor's socialists and all that type of stuff and the free Foxtel if you vote Liberal and all that type of stuff.
Saw bits and pieces of it through TikTok.
It was great.
It was really
and people were fucking like, who worked there?
They were fuming. Yeah.
What is the rules with the giving out the things at the election? Because it's a strange existence.
I agree. I think there's like...
I always try and abuse them.
Yeah, they're just volunteers, right? So we just went up, we're here, we're volunteering. Can we grab a shirt? They just handed us some flyers. There wasn't like a roll call or anything. So we were just there and then we were just started filming each other and we're just, you know, like you said, you know, Labor a communist scum and then you'd have someone from Labor just blowing up at us. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what the rules are, but we tend to get away with it. We did one with the Greens as well. But I mean, like, that's some of the stuff that we've been doing. And then I've been lucky enough, we've been working with budgie smugglers.
Oh, really?
Doing some funny stuff there. And
they're good budgie smugglers. Yeah, they're after fucking Speedos or swimmers for summer, go to budgie smugglers.
They are the fucking great.
They're the best. And they have the best denies too. Yep. The best designs.
Yeah.
They do.
So, yeah, just going to kind of keep at it. End goal, I think, for me, and I know you recently went to America, is to get over there somehow. And start making content over there. Be the Aussie guy that's over there because I just enjoy it a lot more. I feel like you're not walking around on eggshells over there. People are less sensitive. You can have fun and take the piss out of pretty much anything.
Mate,
and it's a bigger audience
there. It is. Well, I mean, Australia is 20 million, 26 million people. Mm. That's the population of LA if you count Mexicans. Which you should count Mexicans. I don't know why you wouldn't count Mexicans.
Yeah, I think they contribute to the census.
Nah, fuck them. Anyway, rapist. That's a Donald Trump quote, not me. It's such a bigger world.
Mm.
Like, you look at some of the famous people on TikTok and stuff in America, and they're just... It's giant. It's a whole new realm.
You just went on a trip, didn't you?
Yeah, how was that? We went on our honeymoon. To Hawaii, and we did America mainland about 6 months ago or so. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. We went for the UFC, and I did a couple of spots in New York. Grab up another beer if you want, Boyle. Please.
Oh, it's all right. I'm fine.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's a VB in there for you. I just had such a great time. We went and saw Joe Rogan, and you said you saw him at the comedy store.
Yeah.
Well, How long ago was that?
Oh, that was about 2018, I reckon.
Right. So we saw him this year with Tony Hinchcliffe and another guy by the name, he's an Asian fella, and he's fucking amazing, hilarious dude. Anyway, so we saw them, and what they do at these shows, this was in Jacksonville in Florida, they get everyone's phones and they put them away in these little
containers
that you can't open until the end of the show. Now, with that in mind, these guys just go hammer and tong.
I reckon that's brilliant.
Nothing's limits.
I love it. Yeah. I loved it.
It's real good.
I left that show thinking to myself, I don't push the boundaries enough.
Really?
And you know,
and you can push the boundaries.
Well, everyone thinks, oh, he's fucking this, he's fucking that. Mate, these guys went hard after every topic, as stand-up should be.
100%. You
know? And they just went hard. They didn't give a shit. And even if someone, there was even a fight in the middle of Joe Rogan's set.
They were the crowd members.
Yeah. I think it was a political one. He said something about...
What, was he sitting on the fence?
Nah, something about... No, Joe wouldn't do that. He said something about Biden or something like that. Mm. And then there was a punch-up. Like, so it's an arena. Like, sort of imagine a hockey pitch field, whatever it is. Like, from one goal to the other, that's how far he was. And this is like two stands up in the fucking in the bleachers. Yeah. And there's a punch on, and Joe's like, is there a fight going on? Like, it was crazy. But... they pushed the boundaries, and I love that. And I tell you what, it was just a great experience to go over to the States. New York's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Like the movies, New York, isn't it? Like how even walking distance and shit like that.
And also, it was strange how far away everything was. You think
it
that...
It can be fucking pretty cold over there too.
Like, oh, it was. It wasn't even winter when we went. I was fucking freezing.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, the subways are cool.
Yeah.
First day we went there, we had the most New York experience, John, I tell you. There was a terrorist attack. It was so New York. On the subway, we went down into the subway, and we go down, and I'm on the phone to my mate who we're there with, and I say, Josh, I'll call you back. We're just going to the subway. We're in the subway for 20, 30 minutes.
Yep.
I get out, and we haven't had reception, or I haven't looked at my phone or whatever. I've got like 10 missed calls. He's like, you guys are right. And I'm like, yeah. He said, mate, as soon as you told me you're going to the subway, I look on my phone like 10 minutes later and there's a fucking terrorist attack like two stops from where we were.
Shit.
Some dude, well, wasn't a terrorist attack. He wasn't Middle Eastern. That was sort of the whole thing. Yeah. It was a black dude, so it's not a terrorist attack, although it was a terrorist attack.
I remember seeing this in the news.
Yeah. So he
Was it shooting?
Yeah, it was shooting.
Yeah.
So this has happened as soon as we got there. And then... We jump on the train the next day, and we're not fazed. We're like, okay, what's the chance of having 2 days in a row? And we're flying along the New York subway, and every single subway, if you've been there, you'll know that there is one homeless man that lives on that train.
Yep.
Like just everywhere. Every single one has a homeless man on it.
It's the same with all the stations around there too. There's at least four or five.
Yeah.
Oh, and I agree with what you said the other night, boy. All homeless people should be shot. And we're driving along, and the lights go out, pitch black. And like we're like, oh, fuck, for like 4 or 5 seconds. So
you're a curse on the bloody subway.
We're a bit worried. And then over the loudspeaker, you know how the conductor can talk to the people. You hear some guy go, fuck her in the pussy.
No. the train's been hijacked.
Yeah. Hijacked. So then we pull up to the next station and the driver goes, hey, can we get the police to the back carriage? There is an intruder on board. So then all the people on our train panic, run off the train, freaking out. And Claire and I just sit there and go, there's a fucking kid. There's a kid saying, fuck her right in the pussy. Like, we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And they did it again and again and again. But all these people bailed off the train. Like, they're genuinely ready for war.
It is America. You never know what you're going to get.
Mate, with everyone carrying, I guess it is a scary situation.
Yeah. Well, I saw you at the range, though.
I love guns, man.
Yeah.
Well, I know New York is one of the only cities in America where they don't allow guns at all.
Well, so they have guns there, but I don't think you can do open carry.
Conceal and carry or whatever
carry
it is.
Or any type of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's like $3,000 fines, American or something like that.
$3,000 fines, that's all. In Australia, you get locked up for life.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen those people in America that walk around with like just like the AR-15 strapped on the shoulder sort of thing? Like, that's crazy to see.
You don't think it's necessary. Like, I have a little Marge Simpson gun in your purse, but that's all you don't need to strap around a big bloody AR-15.
No. There was a dude on the beach somewhere in America. It was on TikTok the other day. And the police are there, and mate, you can't have an AR-15 on the beach. He goes, I'm fishing. You can have an AR-15 while you're fishing. That's the rule.
Some people fish with a rod, some don't.
Some fish, some fucking going after the marlin. So, no, America's great. And, I was shooting an AR-15 and a Scorpion and all that type of shit in Hawaii, and that was just all time. cost me a fortune.
Oh, really?
For like, I don't know, I think it was like 10 rounds.
You got to do it in Vegas, man. They pick you up from the hotel. They take you out to the range. Yeah, and it's not too expensive. Vegas, because it's just like, not that it's a red state, but it's like people go to Vegas and there's ranges and there's
Mate, the red states are the best states.
Yeah, well, there's more, there's less restriction.
There's better people, too. Like,
oh, that's why I love Florida.
Oh,
Florida was
how
like,
how good is Florida?
I went in December
into
January and that was like peak COVID. Like here and overseas, right?
Yeah.
In Florida, it was like they didn't even want to hear about it.
Yeah.
It was like it's not a thing here. You know what I mean?
We turned up in Jacksonville in Florida, and it's a bit of a dodgy area. And our Airbnb was really, really creepy. Like it was the backwoods of this house, or not backwoods houses sort of thing.
Mm.
And then we got there at nighttime, and even the Uber driver, who was this giant black dude, he's like, "Are you sure you're supposed to be staying here?" I was like, "Oh fuck, all right." We wake up in the morning and there's pickup truck all parked out in front of their houses, all with stickers that say, "Fuck Joe Biden." I was
really?
Like, this is hilarious. And we walk past, it's like a Saturday morning, they're all out smoking and they're all like, "Hey man, how you doing?" Everyone's nice, polite, happy. Then you go to LA and everyone hates you. I hate LA. I cannot.
It's a hole. Yeah, no, even the attractions are all shit. Like Santa Monica Pier and all that.
Did you go to the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yeah, well, it's dirty as shit. And it's like everyone, like there's rubbish everywhere. It's just a lot of homeless. I know you hate the homeless, but it's just like.
Take it easy.
It's very run down.
Yeah. Like,
very run down.
And I know people travel. They travel into West Hollywood or wherever the Hollywood Walk of Fame is, the Hollywood Hills or whatever it is.
Mm.
West Hollywood's nice.
Yeah. You know,
they're the gay district, like the nicest part, which is not surprising.
Mm.
They know how to keep a dirty place clean.
Yeah. Some would say.
That's a good point. Yeah. I should write that down. And it was nice there. Although we got out of the cabin, there was a dude like dancing on a table and there was another dude like trying to like kiss him on his dick.
Mm.
That was different.
Well, I've never been walking down a street cat called that much in my life than West Hollywood. I went there initially. I was 2018 because I did an exchange in America. I went to college there for 6 months in Oregon. So I traveled. We were in LA for a couple of days, and it was the Oscars were on that weekend. So every club was pumping, and they were like, "Look, you probably won't get in here. So go down to West Hollywood. Things will be open." Me not knowing it's the gay area, right? We were just going, "Yeah, let's go have a crack, whatever."
Yeah, yeah.
We're walking down, and I'm getting. You know, people growling at me and stuff like that, and I don't think I'm the best looking bloke. You know, I was wearing a denim jacket,
beautiful,
which you know. So I mean, they probably got some ideas, but I was looking at my mate and going, "It's actually a bit of a confidence booster. Like you'll take it on board."
But it doesn't. But the thing is, like the thing with gay people is, or gay men rather, they're dudes, and they're just ready to fuck.
Yeah, ready to go.
Yeah, let's go.
Well, they do have some of them. Higher sexual partners, no? I think it's like upwards of like 70, the gays.
Because all... The gays. I love saying that. The gays. Yeah. Because that's
the term to use, though. LG. They're the Gs.
No, LGBT. They're the gays.
Yeah, we can say
the
gays.
The gay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like saying the Jews.
Yeah.
They're the gays. It is. Same thing. Jews, gays, same people. Now, the thing is, like, dudes will fuck anything. They don't give a shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And gay dudes will fuck any other dude, gay or not, whatever. And they'll just do it. They'll just go for it. Who gives a shit? And that is probably the best part about being gay is knowing that if you go to a club, a gay club, everyone's DTF, to use a term that
apart
I used to use
from
in
the,
high school.
The shared wardrobe, which is a Seinfeld joke. But if you match up with another gay guy, similar height, you know, similar thing.
Right. Perfect.
Double up on the wardrobe. I can wear some of your clothes.
You're a Seinfeld fan. I noticed you've got the ass.
You've got the ass. Well, I know. I watch your stuff. I saw the ass. I'm like, I'm wearing this today. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a greatest sitcom of all time. Hands down.
By far.
Yeah. You could still watch it today and it's you know what I mean? Like,
I think I've watched it about 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
I'd have to be around that. Everybody loves Raymond.
That's a great one too.
Underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It's really good.
Yeah. Shits on Friends.
Oh,
yeah,
can't do
shits
Friends.
On Friends.
Can't do Friends. Everyone talks Friends up. Well, not really everyone, but
mainly chicks.
My mum watches Friends.
Yeah.
Can't do it. But Everybody Loves Raymond, hilarious. Frank from Everybody Loves Raymond puts shit on his wife the entire time. Hilarious, right? Amazing. It's a great show. I highly recommend it.
Well,
it's
Frank
on Stan.
Frank on that show was Ben Stiller's old man, wasn't it?
Costanza. Costanza. You saw him. Frank Costanza.
Yeah. Oh, it's on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But the old dude on, you know what, when I was flying to LA.
Sorry, from Everyone Loves Raymond, I thought.
Yeah. No, from Seinfeld.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So the Frank on Everybody Loves Raymond, I was flying from from, it doesn't matter, who gives a shit. I was flying and to LA and taxi driver, he's in Taxi Driver, Frank from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Because
I was watching it, I was like, who is that? And this is him like 30 years beforehand. So he's a very young man.
Yeah.
So I was like, who is that? And I Googled afterwards and it's him. He's in Taxi Driver.
Yeah, shit.
Have you ever seen Taxi Driver?
That's the De Niro one, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah. Very famous. You've seen it?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
No, not at all.
One of the, they say it's one of the best movies of all time.
Mm.
It's a bit shit.
Underwhelming? You don't like it? I haven't seen it in a while.
It's not that good.
Yeah. I prefer Goodfellas.
Lordy, what do you think? Taxi Driver. Why? It's not that good.
I don't know. People put it. People put it in De Niro's right? in De Niro's top films.
I think De Niro's done better films.
Yeah,
Meet the Fockers.
Fockers is great.
Great movie. Like
great yeah.
movie.
Meet the Parents.
Meet the Parents is up better. There. Sorry, yes. Meet the Parents.
Parents and
better.
Fockers.
Yep.
And then they did a third one for Cash, which was rubbish.
Was that Little Fockers?
Yeah.
Come
that
on,
was
guys.
Pretty, that was pretty ordinary.
Meet the Great Grandparents. Yeah. I don't know. I did watch it because I think it's one of those films that you sort of should watch.
Mm.
But I do struggle with older films for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's they talk much differently, much more different rather to people how they talk now. The films are made differently, all that type of shit. But so you went over to – so what were you doing over in the States? You were on exchange.
Yeah, that was early. So I went in 2018 on exchange, but I've done a couple of trips in between. Done a family trip and then did one most recently with my brother. But yeah, the exchange was fun because I joined the frat, did everything like
did trying you? To so yeah. What are the frats like?
Theta Chi, it's called. Mate, they're not as crazy as they are portrayed in the films because there's a lot of red tape around them now with Me Too movements and all these.
Oh,
like,
really?
So yeah, the universities have a lot of pull on what they can and can't do, no hazing, all that stuff. But they still give you a fair crack. I mean, like, for the initiation and all that stuff, I think they just blindfolded us and took us out to like, drove us out 30 minutes, some forest, and you'd have to get through. They'd have a keg and all the new pledges lined up and you just keep drinking till it's last man standing.
Right.
But it was fun and they loved me because I was the Aussie.
Yeah.
Have, you know, a bit trying to get on board and yeah, it was good fun. It was good to get that experience. Yeah. But yeah, just good to kind of meet people that they throw all types of parties and stuff like that. So it was. I enjoyed it.
So it's a good experience, the college experience in America. How would you rate that to the Australian university experience?
I think they are far dumber.
Really?
If that's a term, yeah, they're less intelligent. A lot of the exams were multiple choice. You didn't really have to do much for them, right? But in saying that, I think universities become useless.
100%.
Everywhere, like Australian university. I did accounting and marketing at UTS. And if anyone is listening to this, for me, I would, if I had my time again, I would never do it.
It's a waste.
I would never.
You just got a hex debt.
Waste of money. I didn't learn anything. Accounting or marketing. And you learn so much more on a job than you do anywhere else. You're better off just going to an entry level somewhere. But like, think about it. It's oversaturated. You get these foreign students that come in and they just pay to get in and you got to carry them in group assignments. They don't speak a lick of English, right?
So that's an issue out in Sydney?
In Sydney, for sure. Yeah, I reckon you ask every uni student, you're always carrying someone that's Asian
or a mature-age student.
Mature-age student, yeah. Right? But it's become so useless. But over there, it's more of a social thing, or it's like something you got to go do. People move out of their houses and go across.
Life experience.
Yeah, so yeah. You got to do it, and you make mates and stuff like that. I've got
seems
two
to be
mates
more
that have...
a culture thing too, or from yeah. what I've seen, like... You know, you look at the football over there, like how many people they get for...
Yeah.
Oh, for college games.
For college games.
That's mad.
They're getting 50,000 for a college game.
Could
you imagine them getting that Harker Oval for West?
No, you'd never get
anything. No, you wouldn't get anything, either.
Like, no one cares about sport that much here in Australia.
No.
I don't feel. Like, you can't even for the big games, you rarely get that many people. Like, you know, for obviously grand finals and stuff.
I think AFL is our equivalent. Like, you'll get a packed 100,000, 80,000+ at a good game. You know, over there, it's every game. Every NFL game is pumping.
What do you think
did
the
you
difference
do any
is?
Of that?
Yeah, I did Dallas. I went to a Jets game in New York.
Really?
Like, yeah, they just, because they only play 15 games a year. So, every game's like gold. You got to get tickets. You got to go.
So maybe in Australia, like for the NRL.
Just, you know, yeah, bring it down maybe.
There's too many games.
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
there's probably too many teams for our population too.
Sure.
There's nine Sydney teams.
17 teams now.
Yeah, Dolphins next year. So it's like, and then there's the talent issue. Because everyone's getting bashed except for Penrith and Melbourne. And so, yeah, the NRL's in a bit of trouble.
As well, like you only got to look at the Roosters game and the CS game with
seven sin bins, five HIAs.
Or yeah. Well, the HIA is an interesting one. I mean, you see people, they have a big head knock and then they come back on the field and the doctor's like, nah, he doesn't have a head injury. You're like, he was out. Like, how does he not have a fucking head injury, mate?
Well, you know, I think it's funny. It's like you watch the NRL, big collisions.
Yep.
And like, you know, they've got an independent doctor now bringing people off if there's a big head knock. Then you watch the UFC, Kamaru Usman just getting a shin to the head.
Absolutely.
It's just like, you know, what's the fucking difference? It's
hilarious because you watch someone go into a tackle incorrectly, they get knocked out cold, everyone panics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, our thoughts and prayers and, you know, they're fucking putting a vigil out for them. And then in the UFC, it's the best.
Yeah, we're praising it going, what like, a fucking knockout.
I mean, I'm a big UFC guy. Mm. But that is my favourite sport by far. It shits all over rugby league, rugby union, AFL in my opinion.
Well, it's shit on boxing now. They've overtaken boxing.
Why even bother watching boxing? I know boxing is a very necessary sort of base skill for things like MMA. And I feel that's where it will go to because boxing's just not as good. It's not as exciting.
Well, I think the UFC's got far more character to it too.
Well, they allow their people to have character. Yeah,
but it's because they're under one promotion. Boxing, you got different promoters and everyone's, you know, own interests, whereas Dana runs a show, makes fights.
I love that.
Yeah. So you need that. You need that Vince McMahon.
But it is a Vince McMahon attitude. He doesn't give a fuck. You know, all he wants is the best for his company and to make money. And that's, you know, by putting on really good fights. He allows fighters to basically do whatever they want. Not do anything outrageous unless you're Conor. I love Conor. So
Or Khabib.
Do whatever you want. And they sell these fights. Like I've had a lot of footy players. Or had conversations with a lot of footy players. I've had a couple on the show, and I said to them, why aren't you like this? Why don't you try and...
No, clubs don't let them.
It's fun.
No.
It ruins the sport.
I did a thing with the Bulldogs the other day where I was taking them for a tour of Belmore because I've grown up in Belmore my whole life, and that was the kind of bit is like I'll take them to do a proper day of Belmore before they play a game. And something as small as like... So we did it like a... I'll take them to the gym. That was one of the bits. And we just shot different things, carrying on the gym, spotting him, whatever, and just getting a few clips. There was one thing, it was me and Kyle Flanagan, and I would say, you walk into the gym, and I'll say, I'll pull you up, say, mate, can I just walk in behind you? I don't have a tag. My card declined last week, let me just roll in behind you. A real leb thing to do.
Yep.
Everyone does it at any time, fitness, whatever.
Yep, fucking oath. Did it with my brother yesterday. At any time fitness down the road. No lie.
Right, so everyone knows that shit kind of happens, and it's just a little like light joke to set the scene. And we sent it off to the Bulldogs, obviously the full video, and they're like, do you mind just taking out that part where Kyle walks you in? We just don't want to be seen in that light of thing. I was like, mate, it's a fucking joke, man. Like, why are you being so pedantic on like little things? Clubs are like that, clubs. Because, you know, you get your Kalen Pongers in your bathrooms and all the scandals and the Mad Mondays, but, mate, like, you don't allow people to have personalities. Like,
Brandon. Who gives a fuck if Kalen Pong is snorting coke in the bathroom? Good on him. Well, snort it up. You're getting paid $800K a year. If you're not snorting coke, you're a nerd.
Well, I've seen half of them in at the Prince do that too. So.
Yeah, I fucking are. Of course they fucking are. Jesus, that does my head in.
Well, yeah.
Like, and particularly with front rowers, I'd love a front rower to play and just say, to whoever's playing next week against Jarrawea Hargraves, I'm going to fucking smash you, mate. How many people would watch that game? Oh, that takes your star power up every single time.
Clubs should definitely allow it. It would just make the game so much more interesting. Like it's like selling a fight. It's like selling a fight.
Well, that's all it is.
Exactly right.
You want people's eyes on it. I'm surprised the Bulldogs pulled out that tag thing, but they allowed you to have that anyway, I don't remember. I was trying to think, what was it? They allowed you to go to a high school with the team. That was really
weird. No, I think you got that. That wasn't in the script, but yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. That was weird. That was weird, actually.
The Newcastle school, was it?
Yeah, Port Macquarie.
Something like that.
Some of the players went there and picked up one of the chicks from the school. Probably not a great move.
No.
Not Dane Till as a part of the coaching staff, Aussie.
No.
Jesus. I don't know what that's about, but all right, fair enough.
No, Dane Till's got caught in a very lewd act, very similar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the rugby league's not short of lewd acts.
I sort of remember what happened there. I can't remember exactly what happened there, but it was something.
Because that was back up when he was here with Newcastle, and it was Kirk Gidley was involved and a few others. Yeah,
there was a big section there when rugby league players were getting a lot of strife. Like there was not just the Bulldogs, there was the Sharks in 2003 or 2002.
That was like the Matthew Johns one.
Yeah, but
they tried to cancel him.
This is the thing though. Like blokes and footy players, and just people in general, have been doing this shit for years.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if it's non-consensual sex, not cool, right?
Yeah.
We can all agree on that. Bit weird if I was like, I was staunch pro that. Like, hey, I'm more for non-consensual. That's what the show's all about. Like, that's not cool. But if they're just rooting around, if they're just fucking snorting, who gives a shit? Who cares? Like, genuinely, you're watching people run into each other and get brain damage, and you're worried about them snorting coke because you're worried about their health. And fuck off!
I think it's a big thing because the media want like that. They got to write stories. That's all it comes down to. It's like you see, there's probably Melbourne Storm players, you know, having a crack off the field, but they don't get too much notice because it's a big AFL town. Like, and it goes under the radar. Sydney, you know, you're jumping on anything, whether it's a WhatsApp video or fucking anything
there's
like that.
There's too much respect for journalists.
Way too much
respect. Yeah. And let's talk about that in the sealed section, all right, ladies and gentlemen, because we've hit an hour on the show, and as you know, when the hour hits, we go straight to Patreon, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to watch the rest of this podcast, head over to Patreon. From $1 a month, you can watch the live version of this once Lordy fixes it. Yeah. And you also get access to all the clips before they go up on YouTube. You get access to absolutely everything from $1 a month. So go and get that. And the sealed section, which is not available anywhere else. Go and check out Isaac Butterfield on Patreon. But for now, go and check out these fine gentlemen, the Boozy Boyle and John. I cannot pronounce the fucking last
John
name.
John Bernard K. Roos. Just
K. Roos.
John
K.
Bernard K. Yeah, yeah.
Can I call you K. Roos?
Yeah, call me K. Roos.
What's your nickname?
Nickname? I get JB. My parents call me Bernard. It's the middle name, named after the grandfather. But
beautiful.
I get JB, but yeah, K. Roos. My brother gets K. Roos.
K. Roos. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. All right. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.